Welcome, Dumbheads, to MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. In this series, we are examining every single goddamn page of Palladium's Beyond the Supernatural RPG to determine what is the dumbest thing on that page. Every episode is one page, every episode is short. If you'd like to play along at home, this is Beyond the Supernatural 2nd Edition, the first printing from January 2005. Today we're discussing page 150 of Beyond the Supernatural. This page holds the final two random tables for standard character creation, and at last, it has come down to this, a game of Russian roulette between the GM, or if you prefer, Beyond the Supernatural itself, and the player. Oh, we've been dilly-dallying around up to this point with a lot of other random tables, some false hope of character agency, some true opportunities for the player to derail the game to be more or less fun for the players. But it's been tit for tat. It's been blow for blow. It's been alternative alliteration. It's been, in a word, inconclusive. And so now what choice does the author have but here, at the end of character creation, to distill this game to its purest form, Beyond the Supernatural in one chair, the player in the other, and a revolver with one round destined to ensure that someone does not walk away. First, let's talk about the eventuality in which Beyond the Supernatural itself lays the player low. This potential comes on the Outlook on Being Psychic table. This is the final table. You may remember that we've already had an Outlook on Being Psychic table back in the Latent Psychic section. This neither replaces nor really complements that. It's just sort of that again, only it has a less mechanical weight directly. You know, it doesn't give you a selection of psychic powers. It doesn't give you special little bonuses the way that the version in the Latent Psychic PCC did. Indirectly, though, it may have a disastrous impact on your play experience if you roll 81 to 90, the Gonzo Outlook. Now, this may be meant in the Hunter S. Thompson sense, but I think you'll agree that it works equally well in the Muppet sense, so that's the mental image we should opt for. Quote, "The psychic loves having psionic abilities, loves it and loves using them. They make the character feel important and powerful, like a superhero. May thrive on conflict and trouble, goes with the superhero self-image, and may also be a bit too overconfident and underestimate his opponents." Having just come out of the XP section, you're not going to have any difficulty identifying the problem here. The character is driven by a need to feel important and powerful. The character thrives on conflict and deliberately gets into trouble. The character is overconfident and underestimates their opponent, which means they're going to have this pride, they're going to have this arrogance, they're going to behave, probably, selfishly and stupidly in getting into conflict, which means they will not get XP. Sorry, you rolled 81 to 90 on the personality table, you rolled the does not get XP personality. Now, if you were a do-nothing psychic, then maybe you could scrape by at first level your whole life, but you are not a do-nothing psychic. You are a psychic who seeks out fights, but doesn't get XP for them, which basically means your days are numbered. This is the bullet with the player's name on it. As the author himself just described in the XP section, XP is a major reward, maybe the major reward, for the player in a role-playing game. Not only that, but it's also necessary to make your character more survivable, since everyone is so goddamn feeble at first level. Other Palladium games are more front-loaded, but here, ISP is in such tight supply that you really need a couple levels under your belt to power decent psychic abilities. You're very under-equipped to fight monsters right from the beginning, and you desperately need those couple of extra ISP each level to get yourself up to the point where you can start using the impressive powers and having a decent fighting chance. That's the arc of the game. That's what you're pinning your hopes on as a player. XP is a psychological reward and a practical necessity in Beyond the Supernatural. And so, since it's absolutely necessary for your survival, naturally, Palladium design philosophy demands a 10% chance that it is taken away from you and your character is unceremoniously, lingeringly assassinated, essentially, by this one random roll. Your mandate is to jump demons who are too tough for you and not get any XP for it. Good luck. Now, in the interest of fairness, I do need to point out there are XP awards in this game for playing in character when it hurts, essentially, so it's not as though this character is totally cut off from XP. There is a dark path, a left-hand path to XP, which is to deliberately put your character in situations where it would be highly advantageous for them not to fight a demon and then have them fight a demon and try to harvest that XP reward for doing things that hurt your character. This is not guaranteed to work. There is a caveat for GMs in the XP section that you don't get XP for selfish or stupid actions. So the GM may decide to zero out that role-playing award because you're being stupid and your character is behaving selfishly. Also, there are XP rewards on top of success in combat for avoiding unnecessary conflict, making a good plan, and using good judgment. And you're going to be denying yourself all of those. So at best, you'll get some XP, but not as much XP as other players who, because of what they rolled on this random-ass table, are free to play in the way that the game tells them to, unlike you, who have been commanded to transgress and will inevitably be punished for doing so. If there's any real consolation on this page, it's that the GM is also a player in this game of Russian roulette. Just as the wrong roll on a random table can destroy your character and your play experience, the wrong roll on the table can destroy the campaign and make the system break down, which is your win condition as a player, right? I mean, this is a Palladium game, which means that it's played in a time warp where role-playing has never progressed beyond the 1970s, and your goal as a player is to defeat the game and the GM. The game of Russian roulette on this page may do that for you. This page also holds the end of the Reason for Paranormal Investigation table that we talked about last time. On that table, there is a 5% chance that you will roll 96 to 100, psychic family. Quote, everyone in the character's family is the equivalent of a PCC, even if the character is not. And so the character has grown up around psychic abilities and the paranormal all his life. He knows it is real and it's interesting, so he studies and investigates it. Bonuses, plus one additional lore skill of choice, plus 10%, and plus one on perception rolls. Now these listed bonuses, they're not nothing, but who cares? Who cares at a time like this? Every member of your family is another psychic character. And not just like kind of psychic, not like one time Aunt Daisy had a dream about stepping on a turtle before she blew out her kneecap. Like, it says here, quote, the equivalent of a PCC. That is full player character power. As battle-scarred veterans of D&D 3.5 will know, if they've ever fucked around with the leadership feat or been forcibly prevented from doing so, the best class feature you can have is another character. The power of a lore skill at plus 10% is insignificant compared to being a full-on physical psychic whose mom and dad and sister are also full-blown physical psychics. Now, granted, you may not want to routinely bring them into the field, or they may not be willing to go, but at some point in every Beyond the Supernatural campaign, the world or something close to it will be at stake, and in those situations, you can call up your mom and say, hey, mom, normally I'm very happy to be out here on my own, hurling motorcycles at monsters, but it's the apocalypse out there, I don't know if you've heard, and this looks like a two-motorcycle job. You want to get a bus ticket? Come on down, help me out. Every member of your family. And physical psychics, that's not even the worst of it. Where this is really dangerous is if someone in the family, or especially you, have group trance. You'll recall from days ago, group trance, the cost is high, but it allows you to pool the psychic power, the ISP, of essentially an unlimited number of other psychics. Once you can afford to activate group trance, your power is only limited by the number of other player characters in the group, essentially, or the number of player character equivalents in your entire goddamn family. In an actual normal-sized group, as opposed to the theoretical 26-person group that Beyond the Supernatural supposedly accommodates, the number of powerful psychics in your family may well greatly outnumber the number of psychics in the player character group. Your character and their family may in fact be a greater force for justice and or paranormal investigation in the world than the rest of the player characters put together. Like, what if you, on the birth order table from a couple of pages ago, what if you rolled fourth born and opted to be a teenager, as everyone should, for the extra ISP? First of all, if you roll really well, you may be able to afford to activate a psychic trance, you know, a group trance to bring the whole family in to pay for psychic power together, right from first level, with that extra D4 ISP you get for being a teenager. Secondly, even if you can't, odds are decent that someone else in your family will be able to, because it would strain credulity that you're a teenager who's a first level psychic and everyone else in your whole family of psychics is also only first level, like even your grandma, even your great grandma. Thirdly, if you're a teen and it's therefore likely that both your parents are alive, just based on that birth order table, you got mom, dad, and three older siblings. If you're a young teen, some of your siblings might even be teenagers and have the resulting extra ISP, including you. That's six people. Six full-fledged player character level psychics to join in on a group trance, and that's like all on your character sheet. That's before we even talk about other player characters. If nothing else, this result just deforms the setting so much, because we've had conflicting information about how common psychics are, and I think you can just about hand wave it to like, okay, psychic potential is almost universal. Expression of some psychic ability is quite common, but most people write it off because it's very minor. And then actual, like, demon fighting psychic ability is pretty rare, which is why it's managed to remain a secret from most of the world during the modern era. But this result specifically disclaims that and says, you know, it may be common or it may be rare in the rest of the world, but in your family, every single goddamn person is a powerful psychic. It's just like, it's mind-blowing. It's like, not only do you get to play Superman, but you get to bring the whole Superman family. Like, you get Crypto. You get Supergirl. You get Flamebird and Nightwing. You get Superboy. You get, you know, Mon-El. Did I say Supergirl? Oh yeah, that means you get Streaky and Comet, too. The entire Legion of Super Pets is at your disposal, except they're not your pets. They're your family. Never forget it. They have their own motivations, their own desires. But you know what I bet they all want? For demons not to destroy the world. So even if the GM tries to pull this thing where they don't want to help you, they don't want to come around, unbalanced encounters, any significant storyline that affects a lot of people, unless your family is like pure evil, this one result changes the whole complexion of the campaign. The GM's only hope is if the GM sees this result and instantly their mind reels and they say, okay, well, your family were all psychics, but they're all dead now. And before they were dead, they hated you. So like, they're not going to come back as ghosts and help you. They hated you in life. They're dead now. They're all dead. Everyone is dead. You're sterile. None of them kept a journal. We're shutting it down. Like, congratulations. Your dead family was cool. That's all you get. If the GM does not take these steps right at the beginning and allows you, God forbid, to have a living, happy family who all live relatively near you, you take group trance and this dark and bonkers world is your oyster. The GM has taken that bullet. The game itself has taken that bullet. You have won random table Russian roulette. That's got to be the dumbest thing on this page. I think as much as the Gonzo personality is a big fuck you to the player, a big inconsistency, kind of defining your personality at the very end with a random roll and giving you a personality that prevents you from leveling effectively, but it can be easily fudged. As I just said, if the GM does not immediately see the problem with this psychic family thing, it will take over the campaign in a way that is going to be pretty hard to ratchet back. Group trance plus this, you can tell the other player characters to go home. There's one more thing on this page I do need to mention just because of the history of the podcast. We're about to enter the insanity section. We've covered this before in Heroes Unlimited, so we're going to have a number of Z-Files days, but there is some extra material here that we are going to be talking about, and that begins on this page with Kevin Sambita's personal statement about and defense of these insanity rules. Not explicitly, but I think implicitly, in the face of criticism about including insanity as like a goofy fantasy element in his game. I'm not going to read it verbatim because I don't want to belittle it, and that's what we do here. So I also don't want to say that it makes everything better, but I'm going to take the unusual step of putting a chunk of text on Instagram just because, having pretty well torn into Palladium and the author for the treatment of insanity in these games, I think it's incumbent upon me to present to you, the listener, who may not own these games, particularly Beyond the Supernatural, which is, you know, never set the world on fire in terms of RPG sales. You may not own this book. It contains Kevin Sambita's own personal defense of these rules against the kind of criticisms I've been making. I'm going to present it without comment on Instagram. So if you want to see his statement, you can go there. And that way I'm not going to feel like I have attacked the author while eliding his defense of his own work. I'm extremely responsible and I do deserve a medal. Speaking of people getting what they deserve, join me tomorrow when Kevin Sambita talks about getting covered in bugs on MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. This has been Mega Dumbcast. New episodes drop every day except for Sundays, when all the previous week's episodes drop in one big megasode on the top-secret Patreon-only RSS feed. If you'd like to get access to that RSS feed and support the show, go to patreon.com/megadumbcast. Contact or check out the show wherever you want. I am Mega Dumbcast on Twitter, Instagram, Gmail, Podbean, your favorite podcatcher, etc., etc. MDC, Palladium Books, Beyond the Supernatural, and all associated trademarks are property of Kevin Sambita. This season's theme song is Horizon Ending by Soft and Furious, whose work you can find at loyaltyfreakmusic.com. Dumbheads, I will catch you next time.